stand, and we'll get in the Word of God tonight. If you'd stand in honor of God's Word, we're going to be in Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22, and we'll begin reading in verse 15. I love that song because, as the saying goes, right, it doesn't matter if you know the Lord's name. It also matters, does He know who you are, right? Because He's going to say one day to those that profess to be godly or Christians, I never knew you, because He didn't know who they were because they never accepted Him. So I'm glad I know Him through salvation. And so praise the Lord for that. Well, if you're in your Bibles at Numbers chapter 22, we'll begin reading in verse 15. I thought Brother Williams was going to preach my message this morning, but he only hinted at it or alluded to it, so I was thankful for that. But verse 15, and Balak, I'll get that right. Let's get that right. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorably than they. He had sent some princes earlier than that. Now he sent some more. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Sounds like a pretty good deal. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God, to do less or more. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me, or say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I said unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place, where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto him, unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And when the ass saw me and turned from me these three times, unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. I want to preach tonight. It's going to be a fun little topic, but if the Lord worked on me about it, I hope it's a help to you. The danger of obstinance. The danger of being obstinate. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and we'll ask the Lord's blessing on the message tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and Lord, I'm just praying that you calm my nerves and that you'd help me to say what you have. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. I pray that the things that you desire for me to say, that I would say. I pray that the things that you would desire for me not to say, that I wouldn't say them. But Lord, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified through everything. Lord, may our lives be changed. I don't believe we come here just out of tradition. Lord, we come here because we want to hear from your word. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you loved us and you will speak to us. Help us to have hearts to hear and ears to hear. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The definition of obstinate means to stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion or chosen course of action despite attempts to persuade one to do so. I almost did a subtitle, Reckless Driving, for this passage. Reckless driving. I remember growing up, and we had a trailer park. It was like our playground, the whole thing. My brother's here. He knows before all the trailer homes moved in. It was like we had this huge backyard. I don't know what my parents, but we like rode all over that trailer park, and it was a lot of fun. I remember one day, as I was riding my bike, I thought it'd be cool. It's kind of in the fall season. I love springtime and fall. I'm excited about the season that's coming up. It's going to be good. It's going to be awesome. But I still remember, and so I had a sweatshirt on, and so, you know, we had, you know, a bike, and I was riding my bike down the road, and I thought, man, this would be cool if I rode with no hands. You know, and so I'm riding with no hands, and so going down the road, just riding with no hands, it's a lot of fun. Then I get the idea, man, it's getting a little warm, so I think what I'll do, I'm going to ride with no hands and take my sweatshirt off all at the same time. And so it just seemed like a good idea in my head, so I start going, as I'm going down the road, I start to take off the sweatshirt, I get about halfway up, and somehow it got stuck. That's not a good predicament to be in, where you can't see. And so I'm looking, or I'm trying to get that thing off as quick as I can, when all of a sudden, bam, right into a brick wall. There was a brick wall that enclosed the pool in our trailer park, and I hit that thing. I veered off the road and hit that because I couldn't see. And in our passage, it's one thing to do that on a bicycle, but it's really not so smart to do that with our spiritual lives. It's not very smart to live our lives in that way, just reckless in the way we go about our spiritual lives. And in our passage tonight, if you know anything about the first five books of the Bible, Numbers, in chapter 23, he's going through and Moses is telling everyone just all the different, and recording all the battles that the Israelites have went through and that God has given them the victory on. And it's just a wonderful time. Again, they've sinned against God. Now they're in the wilderness, but they don't just wander as just for 40 years. As it gets towards the end, they begin to win these different battles and go forward. You think of Sihon, the king of Og, you know, all those kind of things. And he's giving them this victory. And let me just say that the devil is never happy when you are getting spiritual victories in your life. He doesn't like that. He doesn't want that. I don't care if it's a teenager and they got a lot of that at youth camp and missions trip and youth con and all these different things. But I'm telling you, in your own life, he as an adult, he doesn't mind, and he would rather you just get comfortable in the Christian life that you have and not go forward. He doesn't want you to have the victories that God has in place that he wants you to do. And as we come to chapter 24, we're going to come on this passage that people say the Bible isn't interesting. Well, if you say that, then you just haven't read the Word of God, because of all the stories in the Bible, this one is just interesting above measure, that the fact that a donkey actually talks to a human being, right? And as we come to this passage, the children of Israel, they're encamped in the plains of Moab. Balak is the king of Moab at this time, and he's heard of all that Israel has done to the Moabites. And he's heard that to the Amorites and everything that he has done. And he's afraid, and he's so afraid because of all that Israel has done. In fact, they say this if you look earlier on, but they said, "Now shall the company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. So they're like, the Israelites are moving. God is blessing them and giving them land and all these different things. And they're saying, pretty much what they're saying is, we're next. And we don't want to be next. And they heard of this man named Balaam. And now he was a non-Israelite prophet, according to research and the reading that I've done, that he wasn't an Israelite prophet, but he was one that God had used, and it was known that if he blessed someone, they were blessed. And if he put a curse on them, then there was a curse. And he would hear from God and have those messages from God. And so Balak has an idea, a plan to stifle the progress of the Israelites that they had been making. Balak then proceeds to tell his messengers this plan of what he plans to do. And he says, I want you to go to Balaam and I want you to tell him to come and curse the people for me. He tells them, look, tell them they're way too mighty for us. And if you'll just curse them, we can prevail over them that we might smite them and drive them out of the land. He said, I've seen what's happened to our cousins, you could say the Amorites, and I don't want this to happen to the Moabites. And so if you would go and get him, have him come to where we are and have him put a curse on the Israelites, because everyone knows and everyone's fearful of all that they've been doing, and I don't want us to be next. And if he would just simply put a curse on these people, these Israelites, whoever they think they are, then we would prevail over them and drive them out of the land. And as I said, don't ever think that the devil, the world, or your flesh is happy when you gain spiritual victories. It's never a desire of your flesh to get up and read your Bible. It's never a desire of your flesh to get up and pray. It's never a desire of your flesh to get up and be a witness and a testimony. None of those things are what your flesh or the world or the devil desires. He says, I've heard how you have said that whom you bless is blessed and who you curse is cursed. And with these words in verse 7 and with rewards of divination, they go to Balaam and spake these very words. So they go to where he is and they say, this is, and they don't just go just by themselves, they take rewards of divination. In other words, if you do this curse like we're wanting you to, then look at all the rewards. And it's amazing whenever how the devil wants us to think. It's like, look at what all you can have. If you just simply do these things and you act in this way, then look at all the things that you can have. And so they go unto him. Verse 8, Balaam hears of the words of the messengers and tells them to lodge with him that night. They said, look, let me go talk to God and see what he says. And so they lodged there that night, and God comes to him that night, and he says, who are those men that came with you? As if, I always, when I see questions like that, I always think back to the Garden of Eden, where it wasn't like God is asking this question, so he's like, I wonder who these people are. No, he's asking this, but he already knows, but he's wanting Balaam to be honest about what they are there for. And he's like, well, there are these people that the Moabites, and they sinned, and they want me to go with them. And there's some group of people called the Israelites that have come out of the land of Egypt, and they're starting to spread, and they're starting to have victories and all these different things. And they just want me to simply go with them and curse them so that they might not be able to go forward in what they've been doing. And so Balak, the king of Moab, he goes to him, and he said he wants me to curse them. And if you read it, God's response to Balaam isn't like what Balaam was hoping to hear. Because God, in short, simply said, thou shalt not go up. Thou shalt not curse this people, for they are blessed. So the instruction from God is not like, oh, I don't know what he's wanting or what it, you know, there's some gray areas. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. God came to him and said, look, you're not going to go with these people and you're not going to curse them because they can't be cursed because they are blessed. And of course, at this time, Balaam's really down about it and probably frustrated. He goes back to him and says, look, I can't go with you. The Lord has refused that I would be able to go with you, and so God has not commanded me to do so, so I'm not going to be able to go with you. So, of course, these princes that are with him, they go back to where Balak is and say, look, we went and presented your message. We told Balaam, would you do this for us? And all of a sudden, or he went spoke to God, and God told him, look, you are not to go with them. They are to be blessed and not to be cursed. But Balak wasn't going to give up that easy. In fact, where we started our reading, he sends even more princes that are more honorable and greater and more of them than what he had sent before. And in verse in 16, he said, which heard these words, right, in verse 16 of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High. Oh, sorry, I didn't need to turn back, sorry. In verse 16, and they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And so Balak sends, get this picture, Balak sends these people back. He sends more princes and even more honorable and more great than the last ones, and comes to him and says, hey, look, you do this for us, and I will promote you. And instead, Balaam has this idea. He is more concerned about the promotion of an individual than knowing that he's being obedient to what God has told him to do. I don't know if you're getting that. But he's more concerned about what a man thinks and the promotion and the things that he can get from a person that's on this earth rather than what it is to be obedient to what God has already commanded him to do. And this is on his mind, and this is on his heart. And so he tells him, look, in verse 18, he tells him, look, I don't know if you understand this or not, but I can't go past what God has said, either more or less. I can't. In fact, if Balak, he goes to say, look, if Balak was to give me all the gold and silver in his entire house, I can't go past what God has told me to do. But we can see where he begins to waver in his obedience to God, where he says in verse 19, he says, now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say. So he says, this is what God has said, but God, I really want this promotion. I really would love to go with you guys. So you stay right here. You don't move. Stay with me another night. I'm going to go talk to God. Maybe God didn't realize what he had said. Maybe God changed his mind. Maybe God did not really mean what he had said. Maybe he was a little confused. Maybe he didn't know exactly what I was asking. So you guys stay here and let me go back to where, go talk to God and see what he says. And in verse 20, the Bible says that God came to Balaam that night, and he pretty much tells them that, look, if they come to you and they ask you to go with them, you go with them. But just know, you're going to have to tell them exactly what I have told you to say. And so Balaam, man, he's excited. He's like, I guess God did get it wrong. I guess God had, maybe he just got confused. He didn't know what he was talking about. Maybe he wasn't for sure what he exactly wanted me to do. And so he gets up the next day, and he gets on his donkey, and he goes with his two servants, and they go down the road going along their merry way. But wait a second, notice something in verse 22. The Bible says, and God's anger was kindled because he went. Wait a second. Wait a minute. Wait a second. He went to God. God said, okay, you can go, but you're going to say the words. And now he gets on his way, and now we see God saying, well, wait a second. Not really wait a second, but the Bible says that his anger was kindled against him. You know, like you stoke a fire and you get it going. That's what it's going. The anger, remember, God cannot sin. It's righteous indignation. It's righteous anger that he's upset that he has went when he had already told him originally that you're not to go. So how does this go together? And then it helped me realize, it's not that the Lord has given him the okay or the permission to go. He is not saying that I'm okay with it and do what you want. I was wrong. I changed my mind. Yeah, go ahead and go with him and do as you want. What he is saying is you can choose to go against my word and go with them, but I haven't changed my mind on what I have said. You get the difference. You can go with them, but even if you go with them, what the words that you're going to have to tell them is the same as if you stayed here and just simply obeyed. But the problem is you didn't believe me and do what I asked you to do. And so he says, look, you can go with them. It's not that I'm okay with it. And there is such a thing as the permissive will of God. You can do what you want, but just remember, you can never choose the consequences. I teach my little boys and my little girls that. And it's important for adults to understand that too. You can choose the actions that you take. But let me tell you, you can never choose the consequences of those actions. And here he's saying, look, you can go with them, but let me tell you, what I have said from the beginning is the same, and it's as if you should just believe me and trust me and do what I have told you to do. Christian, tonight, you need to understand that just because you do something that is not in line with God's word, and when you do those things, and it doesn't seem like the punishment comes right away, don't take that as God, well, God's okay with it. God's not opposed to it. I seem to be going, as he, Balaam, was, along my merry way. I'm going right down the road. No, if it goes against what God's word has said, then God says, look, we need to understand that he is not okay with it. And as this, it's just struck me. Look at what verse 22 says in the middle part. His anger was kindled against him, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary to him. He stood as an adversary to him. Christian, and now instead of Balaam's helper, he is his adversary. When you choose, listen, when we choose to go against what God's word has said, now we're going in opposition to the way he wants us to, and now instead of our helper, he becomes our adversary. Because God can only be who he is. God can only be righteous and just. He can only live what is truth. He is truth. And so when we do that, that is what takes place. And yet Balaam is oblivious. I wrote this down. He is spiritually unaware. Because when you willingly choose to walk away from the light, you choose to walk in darkness. When you walk away from the light of God's word, as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, right? And so when we choose to walk away from the light, we are choosing to walk in darkness. And there's a lot of damage that happens in the darkness. And Balaam is oblivious. He is spiritually unaware. And yet it's Balaam's donkey that sees the angel of the Lord. It's Balaam's donkey that sees his sword drawn in his hand. The Bible says when Balaam's donkey sees this in this open area, she turns out of the way and goes into a field. And obviously he's heading right, he's heading down this way, and he's oblivious, he's spiritually unaware. The angel of the Lord is there with a sword drawn, going to take his life. The donkey sees it and turns out of the way. And now he's mad. The Bible says he gets mad, and he smacks the donkey and turns it back in the way. The angel of the Lord goes down a little bit farther and is down here, and it's in the vineyard area where there was a wall on one side and a wall on another side. And as the donkey's approaching, he looks and he sees, there's the angel of the Lord. It's like, hey, do you not see the angel of the Lord up there with the sword drawn? And yet, nope, Balaam's oblivious. He's oblivious and he doesn't see the angel of the Lord, and he just keeps on going. And the Bible says when the donkey sees this, she thrusts herself to the side and crushes his foot against the wall. Instead of looking up and being like, what in the world is happening? He gets mad at the donkey and smacks her again. I thought this, you know, because of Paw Patrol, we personify things. I could imagine, she's like, if I could just get this bit out of my mouth, I would tell him a thing or two, right? And he's thinking, man, I wish I'd have got a horse instead of a donkey. That's just me, right? But, I mean, he's upset with her, all those things. And finally it gets to a place where the angel of the Lord goes and stands, and there's no way to get around it. If you keep going, you are going to be killed by the sword of the Lord. And he is still oblivious, and the Bible says that Balaam, that the donkey just falls underneath to the ground. And he's all mad, and he's like, what in the world is going on? And she's like, why have you hit me this many times? And then he started, because you fell down and you've messed everything up and all those kind of things. And someone should have came to him and been like, hey, dude, you're talking to a donkey right now. I don't know if you realize that or not, but he's talking to the donkey and all these kind of things are going on. And as he's doing that, the donkey says, have I ever done anything in this whole time that you've had me that was against you at any time? And the Bible says at that moment, he looked up and he saw the angel of the Lord. The donkey was able to open her mouth. And ultimately, the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam to see. And I don't want to pass this over because this was a big encouragement to me, because I tell the teens all the time, I'm thankful for people like Peter in the Bible. I really am. Because he messed up all the time and God used him in a great way. And so I'm thankful that God can still use me. But looking at this, we realize people say, I can't believe, how did this happen to me? How did I get in this situation? How did this take place? And all these different things that we say. But even according to this passage, we see God is lovingly trying to get Balaam's attention. But finally got to a place where it was going to be either he paid attention or he was going to lose his life. And I want you to see in verse 32. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. I looked up what that withstand. It has the same idea of an adversary that we read earlier. That now instead of his helper, he was Balaam's adversary. And he's saying, I was your adversary because your way, listen, was perverse. I looked up the word perverse, and I thought, man, it was going to be like some of those, you know, definitions that just describe really horrible, bad, you know, just detestable sin. But this is what perverse means, and it really got my attention. Perverse means to push headlong. To drive recklessly. So he says, look, Balaam, the reason the donkey did this was because I had to stand in your way as an adversary, because I already told you what I wanted you to do, and yet you questioned me instead of believing me. You wanted this promotion, you wanted all this wealth, you wanted all these other things than simply believing me. And so I said, fine, you want to have your own way? Go your own way. But there's a lot of destruction, again, that happens when we live life in the dark. And it's only the light of the Lord that can cause us to see clearly again. When the Lord opened his eyes, he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn. And when he saw that, he bowed down and fell flat on his face, the Bible says. So the question has to be asked, why did the angel of the Lord withstand Balaam? Why did he withstand him? And the reason is because his way was perverse. He wanted to push headlong. It didn't matter what God's word had said. It didn't matter what God had told him to do. He said, I'm going to go do this because this is what I want to do. I know what God's word has said, but I want to go, and I don't care. I don't care what you've said. I want to go forward. I'm going to push on. I'm going to drive recklessly. I'm going to go. I'm headstrong in what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. And how many times as Christians do we live our life that exact same way? Where we know exactly what God's word has said. It's in black and white, and we know exactly what God desires for us. We know exactly what God wants for us. We know what he wants us to do, and yet we say, God, I'm going to do this anyway. And yet we think, I wonder why I don't have the joy that God wants me to have. I wonder why I don't see the blessing of God in my life like I would like to see. I wonder why I don't have the peace. I wonder why I feel like I'm filled with anxiety and all these different things. I wonder why I'm in this place. And yet when we look at our life, We are in a place where we say, hey, I know what God has said, but I want to do this. God, are you okay with it? Did you change your mind? Oh, I didn't hear an answer, so I'm going to go on. And that is a foolish way for you and I to live. You think about it in our lives in so many different ways. Are you handling things according to how God's word wants you to handle them? And I don't know of any problems with the church, but honestly, think about it. Do you have bitterness against someone that you are not handling it in the way that God would have you handle it? Well, you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. But are you handling it in the way that God would have you? If you don't remember, he went to the cross for sins he did not commit. He didn't commit those things, and yet he went to the cross. He suffered the pain. He suffered the anguish. He went through everything that he did not deserve so he could have a relationship with you and I. Are you handling gossip the way God would have you to handle it? Are you handling your marriage in the way God would want you to handle it? Men, are you loving your wives like God wants you to love them? Are you caring for them the way God wants you to care for them? Wives, are you loving your husband and submitting to him the way God would have you? Children, are you raising them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? I'm here to tell you, if we know what God's word has said, and we willingly choose to turn the other way, then why is it that we think and we wonder why that we're walking in the dark, so to speak, spiritually? But I'm here to tell you, the Lord withstands those whose ways are perverse. There's a New Testament passage, you probably know of it. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. I'm telling you, what about in your witness? Are you doing that? I love what Pastor said. I was listening to a little bit of his message from Wednesday night, and I love how he said that. Like 95% of the things that God has commanded, there's not really guesswork in it. There's not where I just need to seek God's will, because he's made it so clear, for the most part, what he desires for our lives. Listen, he's made it clear that it's our job to go and win others to Jesus Christ. It's our job to be a part of outreach and all these different things and telling other people about Jesus. This is not a suggestion. This is a command from God that you be a part of it. So when we know about God's word, are we doing it? Because we can't have the peace of God and not the obedience of God. We can't have the judgment of God if we're not doing what God has asked us to do. It goes hand in hand. And the right response is what Balaam did. The Bible says that he fell on his face before God. And in verse 34, he admitted to God and said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. I'm so thankful we serve a merciful and gracious God that loves us and desires for us to be what he wants us to be. I'm glad that with Balaam, it wasn't like, well, you did the wrong thing, you're gone. No, he kept giving him opportunity, and he went to some extreme measures to get him back on track by using a donkey to speak to him. And I wonder if God is speaking to us tonight. The world is getting darker and darker, and it's important for us to be the light of Jesus Christ in this world, and that we would be the witness and the testimony that he has called us to be, and to make a difference in this world. But instead of being our helper, God turns to our adversary if we don't walk according to his word. My prayer tonight for Heritage Baptist Church, this church that I love, I'm so thankful for everyone that is here, and I'm thankful for how God is using Heritage to make a difference in our world and around the world. But it's our job to make a difference right here. It's our job to make a difference right here, and knowing what God has said and simply doing it takes a lot of the stressors out of life. By just saying, God, you said it, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to simply be faithful to what you have called me to do. Because I don't want God to have to withstand me because I'm just so headstrong and I just drive forward recklessly wanting to do what I want to do. So may we ask God and have Him help us to be what He desires for us to be. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand. If the Lord's dealt with your heart, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for this passage. And I pray that you would help me to use this in my life. Lord, help me to be who you want me to be and to make a difference in our world. Help us to just know your word and do what it says. And knowing that you are pleased when we do that. Lord, help us to be the Christians you desire us to be. In Jesus' name I pray.